word, your truth, God, for your the revelation of who you are, that you could speak to us, that you could touch us, that you could move us, that you could change us, God. And we're asking tonight that that would take place, that your word would go forth unhindered, Lord, that we would receive something into ourselves that is from heaven, from you. We ask it in your name, Jesus, the name that's above every name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I know you didn't come here tonight to attend a sixth grade science class, but we may need to review just a few things to set the stage. And considering that it was God who created the earth and everything in it, the natural world we live in has some parallels with the supernatural. God didn't just create things so that we could have a place to be. He created things, and he has patterns in those things that he has created, things that we can then see in the scriptures and in the spiritual realm. For example, Jesus compares being born of the Spirit to the wind that blows. An example of something in the natural that is also taking place in the supernatural. John chapter 3, verse 8 says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit." You can't see the Spirit of God, but you can see the effects of the Spirit of God. You can hear the Spirit of God as it moves, as sounds come out of our mouths. So we ought to take note of the natural things in the world around us to interpret or understand the spiritual things that are around us. So first, let's align on why does the earth have seasons? I know this is fundamental. And so we've got a globe up there, right? Yeah, we got a globe. So that's the planet we live on. And this earth, it spins on an axis. We know this because every 24 hours it does a full revolution. It turns from one end to the other, and we count that as a day. I know basics. But at the same time as this earth is spinning like a top, this planet we call home is traveling through space in orbit around the sun. And while this spring, it felt like we would never get to the warmth. Like, where is it? I haven't seen it. I don't know. It should be here. The whole time that we were anticipating that season to come, this planet that we're encapsulated in was traveling 67,000 miles per hour through space, trying to get to warmer weather as it went through its orbit around the sun. We're right now moving faster than anything that we can drive or fly in orbit around the sun to even warmer weather, because the world is tilted, the world that we live in is tilted on an axis as it travels, and that's how April showers turn into May flowers. But even going that fast, it takes 12 months to make that complete trip around the sun. Basics, I know. And so as the earth is spinning like a top, each day is spinning at this angle of 23 degrees, as we orbit the sun, half of the earth is always getting more sun than the other half. There's a northern hemisphere and a southern hemisphere. The days that are filled with more sunlight is when our half of the globe is getting closer to the sun, and the days that are filled with less sunlight is the other half. And while it's warming up here, it's getting colder in Australia. Side note, did you hear that the Senate passed a bill called the Sunshine Protection Act? Did you hear about this? This bill plans to abolish the practice of adjusting our clocks for daylight savings across the U.S. beginning in 2023. If this bill passes the House, we'll only have to roll the clocks ahead one more time and then back one more time, and then we'll be done with it, and we won't have to worry about being hungry in the middle of service again. Because lunchtime, right, or dinner time, right, it throws us all off. There's nothing spiritual about that. I just thought I'd tie it in because we're talking about the sun trend. Fun fact. Getting back to the seasons, we have seasons because that's what God designed. When he spoke the world into existence, when he said, "Let there be this thing called earth," he put it in motion like a top. And when he did that, he did it at just the right angle. 23 degrees. And as he spun it, he gave it a little lob so that it would travel around the sun in 12 months worth of time, giving half of the earth more sun during 6 months and the other half of the earth more sun during the subsequent 6 months. And so it must be his will for seasons to exist because he made them exist. And so if seasons exist by his design in this world that we live in, then we may want to reconsider the seasons of life that exist. They may also be his will. We go through seasons in life because that's what God designed, with intention, not coincidental, not accidental, not just because, well, I had to make this thing work, but because it came with purpose and intent. Seasons are designed to be seasonal, not eternal. The one thing that's constant is that seasons change. Turning again to our opening text in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, we need to recognize that some seasons are simply unavoidable. Just because you're in a season of life, don't mistake that season as if God has forsaken me. Seasons changing doesn't mean something's gone wrong. It simply means that seasons have changed. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, again, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. That's a whole lot of seasons, isn't it? Let me ask you, are you feeling like maybe you're in a season of breaking down or building up tonight? Do you feel like now is a time to dance, or is now a time to mourn? Verse 6 says that there are some seasons that we will get or receive, and there's some seasons when we will lose what we got. Times when we need to keep things or hold on to them tight, and times when we need to let go of things or situations or relationships. And while no two seasons are the same, there is one single truth threaded through them all, that is that seasons change. Would you turn to your neighbor right now and would you reassure him? Would you tell him, seasons change? Seasons change. Whatever season you're in, here's a promise from God. It's called a season because it's seasonal. Deep thoughts. Continue to read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 9. It says, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time, and also he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work of God, that God maketh from the beginning to the end. We labor, we put effort in, we try to achieve and do and see, but yet seasons will come and seasons will go. Things will happen and things won't happen. We'll acquire and we'll lose. We'll build up and we'll break down. We'll mourn and we'll dance. Verse 14 goes on to say, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put into it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it, that men should fear or walk in submission and reverence before him. As we realize that there are some things, most things, outside of our control, we start to recognize the God that is in control of everything. In other words, you can try to fight the winter. We can bind cold weather with our words and loose warm weather, but our prayers will be swiftly answered with a no, because it's God's design that seasons change. And he hath made everything beautiful in his time so that no man can understand or find out what it is that God is doing from the beginning to the end, but he is doing something in every season. Let's take a step back for a moment and consider this. If I believe the word of God in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says that all things work together for good to those that are the called. Well, then if that's true, if we believe that, if we truly believe that, that no matter what season it is, this season I'm in must be the season that God has chosen to bring his perfect will to pass. In fact, why don't we all turn there next to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Here we get reassurance that God is indeed in control of the seasons of life. And at the same time, in this same portion of Scripture, we read another one of those precious promises of his divine nature in us. You see, it's one thing to say, I believe the word of God. It's another thing to genuinely feel it. When our heart, our emotions catch up with our mind, then the power of God is unleashed in our lives. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that who are the called according to his purpose. If you didn't know that he's in control of your season, now you know. All things work together for good. Not just the good things, not just the pleasant things, not just the sunny, warm, breezy days, but all things. Verse 29 then gives us this another one of these precious promises of an expected end. Because all things work together for good, here's the promise of God to us. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. From the very beginning, God knew that what you and I would need. He knew what we would need from him in order to become conformed to his image, to receive his divine nature, to take on his persona, his personality, to become ever more like him. He was so sure that he guaranteed it or made a predetermined path that leads to success through his blood that was shed for our sins, through his Spirit working in us, and through his word speaking to us, giving us direction. Romans 8 and 30 then goes on to say, moreover, for whom he did create with this predetermined path that leads to success or predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. And what shall we say then to these things, to these seasons? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son or his own flesh, but delivered up himself for all of us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He's the example, the chief cornerstone, the pattern which we aspire to follow after, and he laid down his own life for us, and so we lay down our own lives for him. Think about this. If all things work together for good, then maybe I shouldn't resist the season I'm in. Maybe instead of complaining like the Israelites did in the wilderness, which ended up costing them 40 years of wandering, maybe I should accept this as the will of God in this season, in this moment of time. Pastor, what's that phrase I've heard you say many times? Suck it up, buttercup. Right? I've heard that many times from this pulpit. I think what Pastor's saying is that we just need to accept sometimes the difficult situations and seasons that enter our lives, that sometimes we just need to endure. You know, summer, fall, spring, and winter will come, right? There's no question that the seasons will. And with life, there's no question that seasons will come. Things will change. And that some of those seasons will be very pleasant, and some of those seasons will be less pleasant. But don't run from the inevitable change of the season. Rather, embrace the challenge that's presented as God's perfect will, because God doesn't do anything by accident or coincidence. There is no mistake in the pattern that he's established and the changes that take place. You know what I've heard in a commentary as this individual was sharing his perspective on this country that we live in. He was commenting on how this country once had a much greater ability to endure hardship. He went on to say there's a tendency in modern culture today that wants to just insulate ourselves. I mean, safer at home. We just want to hunker down, put up the walls, protect ourselves, insulate ourselves from discomfort, inconvenience. He went on to compare ourselves to times past, pointing out that those that came before us may have had a much greater ability to endure hardship and were better for it. There's a mindset in society that says, I want my children to have a better life than I did. And to a degree, that's a good sentiment. For us as Christians, we should want our children to reach for higher heights and greater depths in their commitment to God and their willingness to sacrifice for the kingdom of God. I want them to stand on my shoulders and go further. But too often this sentiment is often misinterpreted as, I want to make their lives easier than my life was. And an easier life is not a better life. Obedience to the word of God is not always easy. Sometimes God asks us to take the high road, to direct us on the paths that are less traveled, paths that lead to self-sacrifice, certainly not the easy path. Jesus demonstrates this path of self-sacrifice when he rebuked Peter in Mark chapter 8. Turn to Mark chapter 8, verse 31, if you would, with me. Jesus is foretelling of what's to happen to him. The leader of the pack, the one who works miracles, he's telling him this is what's going to happen, and his followers are, one in particular stands out and says, oh no, that is not what's going to happen. That would be terrible. And so here, Jesus began to teach them, verse 31 in Mark chapter 8, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and to be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes, and to be killed, and after 3 days rise again. It's going to get really bad, but after it gets bad, it's going to get better. He's trying to teach them or explain what's to happen. This is his inner circle, the ones that were closest to him. And he spake that saying openly, and as he spake this, Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Peter began to rebuke God Almighty in the flesh, and when he had turned around and looked upon his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. If you're only interested in the comfortable seasons, you're only interested in the things of man, but if you're willing to accept those seasons that are less favorable, less comfortable, God says that all things work together for good. If we're willing to accept that at its face value, then we accept the good and the bad seasons in life. And through that acceptance, we demonstrate our belief and trust in God. Our faith is exercised when we say, yes, Lord, thy will be done. Jesus goes on to say, and when he had called his disciples, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Don't run from adversity because it's difficult, but trust God is still on the throne in every season. And just because an adverse season has come into your life, don't mistake that as something's gone wrong, because seasons always change. Don't misinterpret that somehow you've fallen out of the will of God simply because the season has turned less favorable. Rather, embrace the challenges, knowing that, according to Galatians 6, chapter 9, that in due season, if we faint not, we shall reap. Now, to be clear, I am no way suggesting that we invite difficulty into our lives. I would caution anyone not to pray the prayer that says, God, prove me, because he may take you up on your offer. And life comes with its own set of challenges. No one is exempt. And I understand that some of the challenges we face are, in fact, self-made. And here's where we maybe sometimes we go askew, in that we, in those situations, especially those that we got ourselves into, we tend to try to deliver ourselves from them. Here's what I've seen. I've seen God take my mistakes and transform them into his victory. God is so good at being God, he can take inadequacies, shortcomings, and somehow use them to his advantage to bring something to come to pass that may not have otherwise. He can take a broken life filled with inability and make it whole again, because his strength is made perfect in weakness. Inability is where he focuses his power and his transformation process. And because his words are true, that all things do work together for good. So yes, we need to repent and turn around, but sometimes we just need to suck it up and endure, not try to circumvent the season that is upon us, trusting that God will see us through, that he will give us peace, that he has an expected end in everything that he does and allows. Tonight I've come to encourage somebody, no matter what season you feel you're in right now, even if it's self-inflicted, God can use that. He can take that recognition that I can't do this on my own, Lord. When we look ourselves in the mirror and we say, honestly, I've fallen short and I don't know how to get back up, God. That may be the opportunity God has been waiting for years to present itself, where we thought we could just do this thing. He said, yeah, there's another level I need to take you to, but you're not going to get there. Except, well, not that he would design us to fall, but he knows our shortcomings and our inadequacies, and that's where he can use them to his advantage to create an opportunity that we would reevaluate ourselves. And it's in those times most often that the most productive things come out of our walk with God. Not through the successes and the wins, but through the losses and the challenges, he produces something greater than what was there before. And even with this knowledge that we know God knows best, even with the understanding that his will is perfect, that doesn't stop us from trying to manage and manipulate the things that are in our lives. Imagine for a moment, what if we could make the weather in Wisconsin 75 degrees every day, all year round? What if there was only one season that never changed? That sounds wonderful, right? Sign me up, let's do it. Do we really need winter? Is there a good reason to shovel snow? Can anything positive come out of a cold and rainy April? You know, scientists have actually asked themselves the same question. They've put together models trying to simulate, well, what would happen? Like, if there are a couple planets in our solar systems who aren't tilted at 23 degrees. In fact, there's a couple that have no tilt at all relative to their orbit. There's one that's tilted all the way on its side and a couple other in different ways. And anyway, so why 23 degrees, Lord? What, couldn't we just been one of those that was at a 90-degree angle? I mean, your word is true and straight. So is a right degree angle, right? True and straight. Well, through simulations of what would happen, would you be surprised if I told you the end result would be catastrophic? The 23 degrees of tilt of the earth as it spins as a top, as it travels thousands of miles per hour through the solar system as it rotates the sun, the thing that produces 6 months of more sun on one side of the earth and 6 months of more sun on the other side of the earth, is there by design. For example, if there wasn't cold weather, if there wasn't a cooler climate, there would be some drastic changes in some of our primary food sources. Have you ever heard of winter wheat? The name itself explains it requires winter to become the wheat that we consume. Essential food crops such as potatoes, oats, barley, they all grow better in areas where there is cool or cold winters. Farmers will tell you, Brother Coffee can validate this, I'm sure, there's a process that takes place in the land during the seasons, between the growing seasons. If there wasn't a turning over of the soil, a rotation of some crops, we would quickly strip all of the resources and minerals out of the ground that we need to grow, and so there's a reason for the seasons. There has to be a turning over of things, and so if that's true in the natural world, If the seasons are essential to produce food, then the seasons we go in life through in life are also essential. Understand that there's a turning over of the soil in our hearts and our minds, and at times that is not pleasant. It doesn't look pretty, but it's necessary to produce the things that will sustain us. We see this principle in Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And here's the result. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Verse 3 says that there will come a season that will bear or produce much fruit. And so at the same time, that means there is a season that will not. But the scriptures say even in those seasons of not producing much fruit, there the tree will not die. It will, its leaf will not wither. The tree just waits for the next season, knowing that there's a season that's going to change and a situation that will no longer be what it is today. And because of that, there will be new life. Seasons always change. Supposing now again, if we could control the weather, if we could deliver ourselves from winter, on top of the issues that we would create in the food chain, we would be plagued with diseases that thrive in warm, humid environments. Winter protects us and much of the world from tropical insects that carry deadly diseases such as Zika, malaria, Ebola. Some of the seasons in life that we go through are to kill off things to get rid of the parasites. Things that, if left unattended, would multiply and eventually take our lives. Seasons change for a reason. Turn your Bibles, if you would, with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8. Says, "For though I made you sorry with the letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice that ye were not made sorry, but that ye sorrowed unto repentance, for ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive the damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation." A season of repentance will bring salvation in our lives because we recognize something has gone wrong. We're in need of a Savior, and now there's an opportunity because there was a season that came. Some seasons are seasons of repentance, an acknowledgement that we've simply just gotten off the path of obedience. Don't resist the season of repentance just because it's uncomfortable. Rather, we are to embrace the dying of oneself, because the Word of God promises if you lay down your life, well then, and only then, will you bring forth the fruit and have that more abundant life. John chapter 12, verse 24 says, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." When we meet the crossroads of that season that is that season of repentance, we should celebrate, embrace the dying of oneself, because it's a doorway unto life eternal. Fall, spring, summer, and winter are not happy accidents. No, the master architect of this world we live in put them in place by design. And likewise, we learn that the seasons within our life are also there by design to produce the things that would not have come to pass except we were faced at times with some adversity. In the natural world, some things, like the Industrial Revolution, may not have come to pass except there were cold winters. In the 18th century, the use of coal to heat the homes in Europe came out of the need of an ever-growing population that was running low on forest lands for fire to warm their homes. And so they looked for other things that they could use, and lo and behold, there was a plentiful amount of coal in Europe to keep the houses warm. And through this challenging season that was filled with shortages and coldness and homes that needed heat. The use of coal then to heat the homes inspired the inventors of the steam engine to try using coal to power industrial machinery, and thus it led to more innovation. Many advances in science and technology have been the result of challenging times. See, if everything's okay, then we don't need to work or strive towards anything better, and so we just tend to have a tendency in our human nature to take the path of least resistance, and God says, well, that's good for a season, but I want to develop something in you that won't come out of the easy path. I have a path that's a little bit more challenging, but if you'll follow that path, it will produce something in you that you didn't have before, something that will make you stronger. And I can just imagine someone sitting here saying, well, I feel so weak. And God's saying, yes, that's exactly what I'm looking for. I'm looking for someone who realizes they need to take this path to grow strength in themselves, in their walk. And through that path, through that self-sacrifice, you will find power and authority even over our own flesh and our own mind and our own feelings. Turning next to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, God wants to equip every one of us with more so that we can handle the seasons of life, so that we can truly embrace the Word of God, believing that all things do actually work together for good, with the knowledge and understanding that through whatever it is we're going through, as we endure for a season, our endurance through that season in itself is a sign that we do indeed trust God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if ye need be, ye are in heaviness through the manifold temptations or trials that put something to proof, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Scriptures clearly say there's going to be seasons of heaviness and manifold trials, things that are there to prove, are you the real deal? Do you really believe that all things work together for good? Are you willing to lay down your own life and trust that he has this in control, this season? The Bible compares that trust is like the purifying process of gold. Well, how does that happen? It's in the fire. It's in a place of discomfort. But something more valuable comes out of it than what went in. Don't tell me about your great faith. Show me your great faith. Prove that you believe by not wavering when life throws you a curveball. Your willingness to trust God and not in yourself in that season is like that purification process. We become more valuable than we were before. I know we'd much, much more rather just focus on the pleasant things and the good things, but the Word of God says that every season is a good thing. James 1 and 2 says, count it all joy when you fall into a challenging situation, a challenging season. Reading from James 1 and 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. This thing that you're going through is going to produce something that will make you more perfect. You know what? There's so much more going on deep down than what we recognize in this world that we live in. We can see things on the surface and we can recognize things that are obvious, but there's so many things that we can't see. Things that are transacting in this world, in this earth, in this giant ecosystem that we live in. This past week or so, things have popped up in yards all across lawns called weeds. I was telling my wife just 3 days ago, I was walking down the driveway and next to our driveway, it was all clear, but now like 3 days later, there's all these weeds, all these dandelions. It's like, is this orchestrated? I think there's an attack going on and they've conspired against me because there's so many of them and they're such great quantity and so high, and I Then I started to remember, you know what? I feel like this happens every spring about this time, when suddenly there is a transition in the season, and these things that were just waiting there, sitting dormant, all of a sudden grow. And you know what I realized is that while they all stick their heads up really high in that first week or so, they start to lay back down the rest of the summer. You see, they've been sitting there dormant, and weeds, they only live 5 to 6 weeks, and so they have to grow fast in order to get to a place where they can reproduce themselves, versus everything else that doesn't have that same pattern. It's easy to see some of those things that are happening on the surface, things that are obvious, but what it's not easy to see is what's actually happening. You see, the role of these plants, weeds or grass or tomatoes or whatever, everything has a role that it plays in this ecosystem in the northern hemisphere and the southern hemisphere, and the role of these plants they play is much bigger than just what we see. They're the thing that recycle the poisonous gases like carbon dioxide. They turn it into oxygen, and at the same time they translate solar power into energy that ultimately then fuels animals' life, and then so on, fuels our lives. And so while that's good, there's even a bigger story here that plants actually play a role, and a special role in spring that they don't play the rest of the year or the times that are sunny in the hemisphere that's getting the sun. And if you start to consider that it's not just the plants on the land, the whole ocean is filled with living organisms, plant life, plankton. The ocean itself is like a giant solar panel that produces oxygen through the organisms that live in it. And of course, there's sun hitting all of that along with the land. And scientists have studied the effect of the seasons on the planet and their ability to create photosynthesis and recycle the carbon dioxide back into oxygen. And what they found was that with these changing seasons, this giant biosphere that we live in called Earth, there's a dramatic shift in where photosynthesis does most of the work in this conversion process of carbon dioxide back into oxygen. You would imagine that if you divided the globe up into regions, you've got the region that's in the middle, the tropical region, that's closest to the equator, and their things can live all year. There really isn't a winter. There's a warmth and a really warm. And so those are those tropical places that we know that have all these green plants. It's like walking into a greenhouse and you see everything thriving and you think, well, this would just be a great place to live, wouldn't it? But what they found was that wasn't the place where the most photosynthesis took place. That was not where most of the carbon dioxide was recycled into oxygen. Where it actually took place was wherever the sun was shining most in the northern or southern hemisphere. So right now we are in the place where most of that is transacting, because the plants in this place have to grow fast and tall in a shorter time frame. They require more energy. They output more energy, and through that process they multiply the amount of photosynthesis by a factor of 10 compared to that of the area that gets sun all year round. So what does that mean? We're back to sixth grade science class. 6 months out of the year, there's half of this globe that's converting these poisonous gases into something breathable, and the other 6 months of the year, the other half of the Earth is doing it, while the middle just kind of coasts along and gets a free ride. And if these two halves didn't do it at the accelerated rate that comes through the changing seasons, we would live in a place that was uninhabitable. God has put the seasons in place by design. There are things that are happening far below what we can see in our lives through the seasons that take place. We see the obvious stuff on the surface, but there are things much, 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 much deeper, much, much, much bigger that are being multiplied through the seasons that we go through. There's a song we sing that's titled Waymaker, and we need to rehearse some of the verses in our minds. The bridge, I believe it says, the lyrics, they speak to me in such a profound way. They say, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. He's always working in our lives. There was never a time when he isn't involved in a very intricate and detailed way into what's going on. And every season that we are in, there is a purpose in it, because all things do work together for good to them that are the called. It might not feel like there's something good, but I promise you, every season produces something. It's not for nothing, and if we will submit to the season that God has put in design, we are submitting to his authority. Consequently, if we don't submit, we only delay that outcome that God is wanting to produce in our lives. And so here's my advice. Submit to the season that you're in. Accept God's will for today as God's will for today, knowing that seasons change. Our acceptance of his will for today doesn't say this will always be, but as long as you want it to be, God, I submit. Turning to our last scripture in Psalms chapter 145 and verse 14. Psalms 145 and verse 14 says, "The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raises up all that be bowed down. The eyes of all that wait upon thee, and thou that givest their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing." It's God that makes things go up and down, that seasons change, situations come in, situations go out, and in everything he gives them meat in due season for those that will wait on him, to wait for the season. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him and to all that call upon him in truth. You see, there's a season for every time and every purpose. According to his perfect will, all things do work together for good. Tonight, as the musicians come, there's one thing that is for sure, is that every one of us will go through seasons in our life. And those seasons, some of them are more pleasant than others, and some are downright difficult. I know that there are firsthand some seasons that have been going on for what seems like a very, very, very long time. Sister Svodik, it's been a long season, hasn't it? But here you are tonight. Here you were this morning. Here you were at ladies' retreat. I feel like a season is... because seasons change, Sister Svodik. Sometimes we feel stuck in that season as if this is just a life sentence, but let me ask you this question. Was it always that way? Was this the way it has always been in your life? Has this always been the season that you're in? And if you go back in time, I'm pretty confident that there was a time that you were not in this particular season, whatever it is that you're in right now. And so if you were not always in this season, then you will not always be in this season. Because seasons change. It's what seasons do. They come and they go. Times to reap, times to plant. Times to gather, times to let go. Times to build up, times to tear down. He makes everything beautiful in his time. And as the Church of the Living God, we are not waiting for his will to come to pass in our lives. His will is coming to pass right now. And if we would learn to accept his will of right now, if we would not fight the seasons as if we could fight it anyways, if we would just say, "Yes, Lord, I trust you, and I don't just trust you with my words, I trust you. I trust your intentions are good for me. I trust you know what's best, and I trust that I don't have to understand everything that's going on around me right now to know that you are in control and that I submit to your will." You know, from my own personal experience, it's been in those moments of time when I truly accepted a difficult season as the will of God, when I said in my heart the words that were coming out of my lips in prayer, "God, I trust you. If this is the way it's going to be, so be it. I can't do anything about it anyways. it was in those moments when the emotions caught up with the mind that I think God wrote in his calendar. Today is the day. The seasons change. Because there wasn't much longer time, all of a sudden circumstances around me started to be different. And yes, I indeed recognized there was a change that took place. If you'd stand with me tonight. Don't fight the season that you're in. Now, the Bible says that we are to be hungry and full. So that's not to say that you say, I choose the season I'm in. No, it's to say, I accept it. I accept being hungry, yet I'm full. I know how to abound and how to be abased. I accept today as your will, your perfect will, God, but I am seeking for tomorrow. And as we start to align our hearts and our minds with our words in submission to the will of God, to the season that we're in, he will develop something in us that allows us to become something that we wouldn't have otherwise. And the promise kicks in that seasons, well, they always change. Tonight as we open up this altar, I don't know what season you're in, but God knows because he allows seasons by design. And I thank God that we're not all in the same season. And so as we come to this altar, perhaps you know somebody that's going through a season that you went through once. Perhaps you would want to come and encourage them tonight and say, "Hi, I know where you're at. I've been there, but my God is faithful." Jesus, we put our lives in your hands, God. We trust you not just with our words, but with our hearts and our emotions, God. We lay it all down here at an altar tonight, God. Thank you, Jesus, for your perfect will.